Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. We are back with our sixth level 33.1. We have five of our residents of level 33.1 with us today. We have Mr. Dallas Hernandez.
Hello.
Mr. Cavante Chillis.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Mr. Chris Fuchs.
Hey, everyone.
Mr. Casey Cochran.
Hey, guys.
And Mr. Lex Ledger.
Hello, hello.
So we've all been here before, so no introductions are in order. If you haven't listened to our previous 33.1s, go back and find out who all these guys are. And first of all, hope everybody's being safe and clean and isolated out there during this COVID-19 or coronavirus crisis. They called it coronavirus for so long, I don't think anyone's going to stop calling it that. I still call it coronavirus. But yeah, hopefully this will be a nice, fun, extra thing for y'all to listen to while you're stuck in your house. So we didn't really have any, like, major, let's discuss this time, but we have a few kind of smaller conversations that will no doubt spiral out into other tangents. Lex, you had one that I wanted to start off with. Season 7 of Smallville, Lex leaving. Take it from there. What were your thoughts on that, and where did you kind of want us to go with that conversation to start us off?
Yeah, it was kind of a general conversation for that. I know season 7 is not your favorite by far. I do think it's better than season 4. Actually, I like the last half of season 7, one of my favorites. But just a lot of people, when I've read in comments, kind of mixed feelings on how Lex left, you know, his final episode, what happened. I overall liked most of it. I do think the kind of cliffhanger ending was a little an odd choice, since you're not going to see him again.
It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see what it turns out for him.
Yeah. And the next thing we know, you know, we see Lex in season 8, you know, all beat up and everything.
Darth Lex, yes.
And then at the very end in season 10, in the mind wipe scene, you see him kind of climb out of the fortress, which I kind of thought was from this, like he climbed out after end of season 7, but then he was fine. So obviously that couldn't have been from that. So yeah, just kind of wanted to give everybody's thoughts on what they thought of his final appearance and if it was kind of worthy of what had been built up to that.
Yeah, so Arctic in particular and where they left Lex.
That's the main thing. I mean, season 7 in general, if anybody has any random thoughts on it, like I said, I didn't mind it. I definitely did not hate it as much as you do. But
I come from a place of love with all my criticism of Smallville. All right. But yeah, as of right now, you're right. I was really tough on season 4 before I watched it, and a lot of it was still really bad, but I enjoyed a lot of it, so as of right now, I'd say season 7 is worse, but let's not forget, season 6 has Lexana and a fake baby, so, Justice League is great, but they leave, and we're left with that. So, yeah, let's go around the room here. Chris, let's start with you. What are your thoughts on Lex leaving, and what happened before and after, I guess?
I'm going to go along the same lines as you. I think, like, in my head, I don't remember season 7 too fondly. I feel like it was like you'd have a good one and then a couple stinkers, and then maybe they'd bring the storyline, and then the whole, like, Veritas recircle stuff was kind of brought it down a little bit. But in terms of Lex leaving, I didn't necessarily have a problem with him leaving, but I had a problem with the fact that they wanted it to be, they like built all the way up to the end of the season to be this big thing, and then it was all this uncertainty because they weren't sure if they could get him to come back again or not. And then they're showing like the back of bald guy's heads, they're showing a mannequin somewhere, and it was all a little confusing. I was like, I wish that they did something a little bit more definitive, like have him be missing and have him be gone, and like if he was going to come back, that then you could backfill what he was doing in that time, or if he, you know, if you didn't have him, maybe just cut ties and say, okay, he's not coming back. If he does, then, you know, we'll redo this or something. So I just wish they put more of a line in the sand and kind of pulling it out a little bit.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I'm very much in alignment with you. Well, what about you, Casey? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I just had a thought come to mind about the Lois and Clark series and how they handled Lex leaving, or leaving the show at least after season one, better than Smallville did, because obviously, well, other than the fact that they got him back, but his status didn't change until then. He was just like in this coffin-like thing on life support. I mean, they could have just done the same thing for Lex until the finale. I don't know why they didn't do something like that.
Because somebody had to have a change of heart.
There it is. Always with the quotes, Dallas. Very good.
I do my best.
You guys couldn't see it, but he even did the hand motion that Lex does in the finale. So,
I did
well
see
done.
It.
Much
yeah,
appreciated.
Nice.
I can't tell you how many times I have rewatched that scene on YouTube in the past 10 years. I'll just be sitting there and be like, you know what I haven't watched in a week? The Lex return scene.
That was a great scene.
It was. Great scene.
So go ahead, jump in there next, Dallas. What did you think about the whole situation?
It was really shaky. You're right. I agree with both of y'all and everyone. I think we're all in agreement about it's not what any of us wanted, right? But I really don't have any strong opinions on it. It was what it was.
Well, did you like season 7?
Yeah. I mean, it certainly wasn't great. But, I mean, you could tell by then that's when they really started to show the we don't know when if we're coming back. We don't know when the money's going to run out. You can tell that's when the budget issues really started.
That was a shortened season, right?
Yeah, yes. Well, it's actually
was a writer's strike. Yeah.
It's only shortened by 2 episodes, though, because they came back after the writer's strike. And yeah, Casey and Chris, to your points earlier, I think what Dallas is spot on with, like, had they known when the show was going to end, they might have handled Lex differently, like around the lines of what you guys are talking about. But they just didn't know. Like, season 7, 8, 9, 10, they all thought, could this be the... I think 9 was the one they were like, I think we know we're getting a 10.
Yeah.
But 7 and 8 are very, like, they could have tweaked those finales and it'd been the end. So Kev, what about you, man? What are your thoughts on how they handled the Rosenbaum's leaving the show?
I'd watched a show where one of the actors had left and the character hadn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lex was still very much a character in Smallville, but the actor wasn't there. So they were like he was mentioning, putting people, like, in the Darth Vader mask and having them, you know, the back of his head, and then having that one episode and a couple seasons later where he was like super old and aged. And so, like, it was weird. That kind of like soured, but that was basically after season 7. But for season 7 itself, I mean, it started off with, like, what, Bizarro, right? And then you had the Veritas stuff, and then they called him the Traveler, and I just didn't like all that stuff. It was weird. I was distracted by the fact that they were trying to tell me that there was something there the whole time that wasn't.
As you all know, that is one of my favorite continuity problems on the show. Like,
well, the funny thing was, is because, you know, it's documented now, a couple podcasts with me, is that I watched all the stuff on a ship while I was deployed. I had access to all the episodes at once. So I immediately just went back. Like, I just clicked on one of the files from, like, season 2 and was like, what are they talking about? And I guess, I don't know.
Insulting to our intelligence. Oh, that was there the whole time.
Yeah.
I remember asking my friend, we watched it together, I was like, was that little V there the whole time? And he just looks at me and goes, no. No, it wasn't.
Well, not even that. Like, you see the L move down. Like, it was higher up. Like, in the...
Oh,
like,
was
in,
it?
If you look at Tempest, like, it's, I think, was the first time I really noticed it, because Lionel and Lex are arguing that the window shatters, right? It's, like, way up, like, higher up. But now it's, like, where I am now in the show in season 5, the podcast proper, right? It's right behind his... like, Lex is sitting down. He can see it. So it's, like, so in your face.
What about the orb that was in the fireplace?
Yeah.
I thought they moved it brick by brick.
Moved it brick by brick. What a joke.
They missed that.
Yeah, apparently the fireplace was just moved in one piece.
And the orb, right? The orb, the things they set up in season 7, like, oh, the orb finds the fortress or whatever. Like, but by the way, there's an army of blue kryptonite dose Kryptonian clones in there. Like, what? Yeah, season 7, it's when the show started running long enough, they started to retcon stuff. Yeah. And that's a big problem I have. Like, had they found a way to make all that stuff work, like with Lionel and Dr. Swan and all them, the Teagues, that might have been interesting. But they just retconned everything. Like, there's no way any of this was going... Like, you're telling me Lionel was looking for the Traveler when he was in Smallville? Like,
kind of, like, almost ruined the whole show for me. Because, like, when they showed the window, I was like, oh, that was there the whole time? That's a cool little detail. That's rewatchability. I'll check it out and be like, oh, they know. But it wasn't. They just said, let's just do this now. So it kind of just almost
wasn't
like
even
ruined.
There, and I don't know when it got there, but This came up at some point when I talked about it on the podcast. Somebody said it wasn't even there all of season seven. Like, I don't know who sent me, I don't know who told me that, but they didn't even think it through that far.
Yeah, it just it undoes so much. I mean, it undoes Lionel. Like, what was the point of Lionel being blind now? Like, the whole, like, you know, everything for seven seasons doesn't make sense now because they're like, everyone knew all along, which is kind of weird.
What's so disappointing about it all is that it's not like they were struggling for storylines. Like, you have this whole 40, 50, 60 years of comic book history that you can somehow weave into your world. You don't need to go back and try and, like, attach all the strings. You could do it yourself in many different ways without trying to, like, redo what was already done.
I do have something to say about the Veritas symbol being in the window. There was this scene. I couldn't tell what broke, but Oliver shoots an arrow and something red. It almost looks like it breaks a window. Like the episode before we first see the Veritas logo. Mm. But it's a close up on the arrow breaking the window, and you never really see what that is. So the only thing I can think of is when he went to replace the window pane, like he had recently just, I don't know, found it in storage in the basement or something. I don't know.
didn't a window break in the beginning of season 5 too?
Yes. Oh, when the Phantom Zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
The window is broken a lot. Yeah. It was Tempest for sure.
It's broken many times.
Arrival for sure. Siren is, I think, what you're talking about, Casey. And the only episode of season 7 Oliver was in. So I'll have to keep an eye on that one. So I guess Lex just has a stack of stained glass windows.
Yeah, I didn't know.
He was only in one episode?
Of season 7. Yeah, because he was a guest star. And it was the Black Canary episode, setting up the relationship between Green Arrow and Black Canary, which we have yet to see in any live-action interpretation of either version of those characters. So,
okay, I'm going to hit you with another quote here.
Let's hear it.
Emails between me and Canary were strictly platonic.
There it is. Season 7, right, with Lex. You know, they knew it was Rosenbaum's last season. They knew it was Kristen Couric's last season. But they didn't want it to be the show's last season. And I get it. Like, you can tell a Superman story without Lex Luthor and Lana Lang. Many of them have been told. So I get why they were like, well, I mean, I'm glad Kristen Couric wanted to leave because it forced them to move on from Clark and Lana. They never would have done it had she stayed.
She came back.
She came back. She derailed
and ruined it.
Yeah. The character ruined it, not the actress. Let's be clear.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Yes, yeah. I agree. I love Kristen Couric outside of season 8, Lana.
As lame as things ended up in season 7, the season 8 felt really fresh the first half of season 8, like a soft reboot of the show. Like, it was a shot on the arm it needed, I think. And season 9 is, you know, I say it's my favorite season sometimes. We'll see. There's no Lex Luthor at all in that. And who would have thought that an entire season of Smallville without Lex Luthor would be great? And it was. But you guys are right. Like, they just needed to pick a lane and say, like, is he coming back? Is he not?
Mm-hmm.
Because all this first half of season 8, you're like, oh, well, clearly they got something working behind the scenes and Lex is coming back.
Right.
Because why else would they keep this bald guy, the mannequin? That was my hair, the mannequin. Oliver finds a bald mannequin. And then he sees like a reflection in a door once. It's just like, what is going on? So I think Rosenbaum was probably being unreasonable because they're like, as I understand it, they wanted him to do, like, you know, at least have a phone call to test, use his voice for Darth Lex. Like, that was, as I understand it, like, they wanted, their idea was, okay, we'll have this Lex Luthor guy, and we'll have a mask on him, and we'll have some shadow and a bandage, but we'll have Rosenbaum do the voice, and at least that'll tie it together, but he didn't even do that. So,
I thought maybe because the show was cut about two episodes less, that much like Kristen Couric, he would have had, like, Michael Rosenbaum would have had, like, on his contract, one or two episodes left. So at the time, I thought maybe he would have appeared for one or two more episodes, but obviously I didn't
have I'll have to ask Craig those details about the contracts and stuff, because but that's part of what it was, right? That's what part of me wishes that, hey, I wish it hadn't come back from the strike, because then in theory, right, wouldn't Lex and Lana have to come back? And then if Rosenbaum had to come back and shave his head again anyway, he just would have stayed for a whole year, because what's the point of just doing, like, you know, the seven episodes? I don't know. That's a lot of, like, does any of y'all think Veritas would have been a better finale than Arctic? Had they kind of changed it a little bit? Because in the deleted scenes on Veritas, right? I don't know if you guys seen the DVDs, but Brainiac takes Supergirl, like, the jungle and makes her own fortress. Like, it would have been really different.
I'm trying to remember the episode. It's been a while since I've watched it. I can't remember the Veritas ending.
Well, the Veritas ends, Well, he kills Brainiac, and then Lana is in a coma, and then Chloe, Brainiac tries to do the same thing to Chloe, but her meteor powers save her.
Yes, I do remember that.
Am I thinking of the right thing? Am I thinking
of
the right thing?
Is this where Brainiac looks at Chloe and says, "What are you?"
Yeah.
That was earlier in the season 7, I think.
Yeah, okay. It was. Because by season 7, yeah, that was the beginning of her powers. Because she didn't even know
Wait,
she
no,
had powers
no,
yet.
No.
Right?
That happened early in season 8. Or it could have been this. I don't know. I'm mixed up. But I know, I mean, the whole Chloe Brainiac thing happens during season 8. So I think it's a cliffhanger at the very end of season 7. It could be in Veritas, or it could be in Arctic, but it's somewhere around there.
Wasn't the cliffhanger of season 7 with Chloe and Lois, one of them was knocked out and they were in the dam?
That was season 6.
Yeah, because that was when
that was Brainy.
She cries her back to life with her tear.
I know we're having fun, but if only there was a way to like look up the information quickly and see.
I am. I'm looking it up. Yeah, I got it.
By the way, speaking of Chloe's meteor power, I guess once she lost it, it was gone for good, apparently.
Yeah, again, them not knowing what to do with Chloe. Like, they're like, we're going to make her crazy. No, we're going to make her meteor freak. No, we're going to make her Brainiac. No, we're going to make her Lois Lane. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do any of these things. She's going to be Watchtower now and marry Green Arrow. Okay, sure.
The Matrix.
Yeah, she's going to be in the Matrix. God,
she does.
Did you find anything good there?
I really enjoyed that episode.
Summary is pretty vague.
Yeah, it was the episode where they went like to it says that Lex becomes obsessed with learning about Veritas and the Teague and the Swan families founded it all. Jimmy and Lois investigate Patricia Swan's murderer, and then Brainiac makes contact with Kara to offer her a chance to recreate her lost life on Krypton. And he successfully attacks Lana and drains her mind, making her his drone to force Clark to turn Kara over to him.
That's right, because Veritas opens. Okay, because it's a shorter episode than other ones. Like, I think it's like 39 minutes or something if you look at it. And it's because it was supposed to be the season finale with these deleted scenes. But then they moved those later. Like, the scene Lex killing Lionel was supposed to be the end of that episode. All right. But they moved that to beginning of Descent, the next episode. And originally he was supposed to kill Lionel, open the box in Zurich, and then find this Fortress of Solitude. But when they got those extra episodes, they had to, like, open this box, and then it leads to this other thing, which leads to this other thing, which gives you 5 more episodes to get to Arctic. Yeah, I remember that now. And I don't know. With Arctic, though, I remember sitting there, much like a finale, sitting there waiting for Clark to wear a costume. I'm sitting there watching Arctic, and I'm like, there's like 5 minutes left. Are we going to see Lex and Clark together? Is this Rosamond's last episode? And there's like, oh, no, Jimmy hacked whatever, and Chloe's going to jail. And this goes on and on and on. And literally, it was like 5 minutes left, and we finally got that confrontation. And I'm so glad the finale exists, because the final scene between Clark and Lex there is way better than the final scene between Clark and Lex in the fortress, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I like that final scene, but it wasn't. I mean, the one in the finale, of course, was better. But I did think, I know looking back, it never would have happened, but I thought it was building up to Lex wearing the power suit and then like confronting him, which would have been sweet. But that, looking back, I'm like, no, that obviously wasn't going that way.
I was really bothered in the end of the season when they say, like, whatever this thing he's going to find, he can use to control the Traveler. Like, the idea that there's something that can control Superman, it just didn't sit right with me.
Yeah, it turns out Jor-El's idea of controlling him was taking away his powers.
Yeah, again.
Every single time.
Beat you to the quote this time, Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Hey, we're waiting on a quote, Dallas.
Which one?
The one I just said.
What'd you say? I missed it.
I said, apparently Jor-El's idea of controlling Clark was to take away his powers. That's what he said in the season 8 premiere.
Are they on a plane? Are they on Oliver's plane? He tells them that? I think that's what happened.
I think so, yeah. Right. It's right after Oliver rescues him.
I will say, I think bringing in Oliver and Justin Hartley to be a regular on season 8 was genius, because you lost like half your cast, and at least they brought back an established guest star who's a great actor and a beloved character, and it makes sense to plug him in to the for the cast. So I reaching back because he was in it, what, 6 episodes in season 6, the one in season 7. Mm-hmm. But on Smallville, that's like a long term recurring guest star. So yeah. I think it, like, that really helped the show. Now, I liked him as Green Arrow before he became a regular. Their struggle there was like, well, we can't have two superheroes all the time, so we're going to make Oliver all like depressed and not want to be Green Arrow all the time. But I liked having him on the show regardless because he was the Batman of that universe. So,
mm-hmm.
He seemed like such a, like, especially in season 8, a lot less tough because he was so, like, he was a good looking guy, but like he was so, I don't know, he just kind of seemed like he always looked like he was like a model, like modeling the suit. I don't know. Like, he didn't really seem like the Stephen Amell version who would get down on the streets and, like, you know, punch bad guys in the face.
Mm-hmm. He didn't look like he got dirty at all.
Yeah, he just always seemed, I just picture him from the opening credits laying in bed, you know, like with Tess Mercer. Yeah, that's the Oliver Queen I get from that show.
Okay. Shirtless. Always shirtless.
Always, yeah, shirtless.
And obviously, he had some of the best lines in the show. He had all the really cool moments, and I think probably one of my favorite Smallville moments of all time is when he's being all moody and pissed off and Clark's confronting him and he's like, says something and he's like, oh, I didn't mean to take your name in vain there.
No, yeah.
Respect the S.
Right.
Well, yeah, for going back to season 7 some, you know, they introduce Supergirl, which is like, what are you doing? Like, I love Laura Vandenberg as Supergirl, but she's in like the first 2 or 3 episodes. She's very active, maybe 4 episodes. And then after that, they're like, okay, we got to find a way. We got to get rid of her. We got to make her memory go away. We got to put her in the Phantom Zone. Like, they spend the rest of the season and the show, like season 8, season 10, like, we got to find a way to remove her. It's like, guys, did you not think this through? Like, if you were going to have such a problem with incorporating her, then just don't bring her on the show. Right. So Kevin, what did you think about Supergirl on the show?
This was Supergirl, Little Miss Cream Corn, right?
Yes, that's correct. Little Miss Sweet Corn. Sweet Corn. Not Little Cream Corn is very good.
Cream Corn is what I am. No, it was, correct me if I'm wrong, which you know, I very well be. There's one point where everyone knows that Kara has powers, but she's Clark's cousin and no one thinks that's weird. It's like, oh, your cousin has powers. Like, she's just kind of,
but everybody knows Clark's weird secret at this point, isn't it?
Did Lois know it at this point?
Leave it alone, Kev. It's Smallville.
Lois didn't know she had powers.
Dude, Lois
not until she shows in season at the early in season 10.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, I mean, she knew Clark was the blur.
So yeah. 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 That's the season 10 opener, right? Is her pulling the dagger out of his chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of disbelief in that show. I mean, it's already hard enough to not believe, but to believe that Clark Kent is like, everybody makes fun of him for being a nerd, even though he's like 6'4 and like 200, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I know.
240 pounds. It's like, incredibly nobody handsome, would make fun of him. He's the biggest guy. He'd be an athlete and like a star.
No, I did enjoy the first couple episodes with Clark. Trying to like show her the ropes of like how to be normal, mm-hmm. and try to like that's mm-hmm. that's always, I mean, you mentioned in the podcast when Tom Welling has to like have that like big brother type character role, like he's pretty good at that. The comedic scenes between him, like, her lot to, she just wants to be normal. It reminded me, there's an animated movie with Supergirl, Batman, and he's kind of Batman, Superman, and Supergirl, and
yeah, it's a scene like that where Superman, like, Batman Apocalypse, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that and it has like that kind of similar vibes the first couple of episodes. So no, she was fine. I mean, I wish there was more of her. Yeah, she kind of went away, and then they didn't know what to do with her because she was already able to fly and all those cool things that we've been wanting Clark to do for so long. So yeah, it was kind of weird.
I feel Supergirl is a tragically underrated character just in general, though.
Well, her creation was like, it's a girl Superman.
Exactly.
I didn't think it through for that. Well, and that's about, like, Supergirl over the years. I mean, I don't have a lot of Supergirl comics, not gonna lie, right? But she does have kind of her own world and identity. And I think a misstep of the Supergirl show on CW now is like, they just basically take Superman stories and they change them. Hey, you guys like Superman Red Sun? Well, let's put Supergirl in it. You guys like Brainiac? Put Supergirl in it. Like, you like, it's like, I, come on, guys. Like, she has her own stuff. So it's like, let's have her fight Metallo.
Well, and let's be honest, that girl, that show is social justice woman, not Supergirl.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't watch that show.
I have heard it described as Politigirl is the term I have heard.
I like that too.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly feel like in season one there was a pretty good balance of everything, mm-hmm. really. Yeah. But shockingly, when it went from when it came to the CW, like that was all out the window, and it just became like what it is now. Unfortunately, because mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest fan of it. Now I will still watch all the John Cryer Lex Luthor episodes.
He's
great. So we'll see how that translates over to Superman. I wonder when they do the Superman show if they're gonna do crossovers. Like, is she gonna show up on Superman and Lois, or
just show up just to like beat him up and then leave?
I wonder if that's why John Cryer isn't on Supergirl so much right now, because he's filming episodes for Superman.
I don't think they're doing any filming.
I was just saying they're not filming anything.
Yeah, the Arrowverse is shut down. Everything's shut down. Yeah. Right.
Nobody's filming this entire planet.
I know they ordered it to series. I mean, did they? You know, usually around, I guess, this time of year before they would have shut everything down is around the time I believe they start recording pilots. But is that the same, or would they wait until they would start recording for a season, or would they go ahead and film a pilot even though they know it's going straight to series?
I think they did already start working on the pilot a little bit before it shut down.
And now I haven't seen a full character list though, but to my knowledge, Lex Luthor is not a main character yet, at least.
Yeah, I don't think they've announced much of it. Like you said, I'm pretty sure that it did get a full series. Like, it's going to do a full season. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far they got because there hasn't been much news on it. I think it was just getting started before it shut down.
Writer strikes, diseases, it all happens. These things happen, right? So, like, well, season 7 Smallville, the writer strike, right? That messed up a lot of stuff, I think. You know, I mean, had they been able to plan stuff out properly, they were kind of caught off guard. But regardless, when they knew, like, okay, we're coming back, we have, was it 5 episodes? 7 episodes after the strike?
It was 5 episodes. I remember they did 15. That was Veritas was the 15th.
Yes.
And I remember seeing the news that posted on Krypton site that Smallville was coming back for 5 episodes after the writer's strike ended.
How many episodes was that season? Was it 21 or 20?
It was 20.
20?
Yeah, 20.
15 plus 5 is 20.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I thought it was 21 episodes. That's what I was asking.
Yeah, because season 1 of Smallville was 21 because they filmed Redux and put it in season 2 for some reason. Bizarre.
Bizarro.
Oh, there it is. So, Descent was good. Okay. I liked this. It was the episode where Lex could line. I thought that was a really great episode. Sleeper and Quest, I barely remember either of those. Those were not good. Apocalypse is really good. The 150th episode?
Yeah. Yes.
Directed by Tom Welling, we got President Lex Luthor, we got
first
Clark
time
Kent.
Clark really wore the glasses.
Yeah, and the real glasses, you know, like the real Clark Kent glasses, not those.
That's why I said real glasses.
Very good, Casey.
They got that clip that they used in the promos for the rest of the time where he like runs up behind Lois.
Yes. We have the Terminator 3 Rise of the Machine stock.
I was just going to say, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was, that was great. Like for, I always thought they should have done a, like, It's a Wonderful Life episode of Smallville. Like, if Clark didn't exist, right? And then, and that was, and hey, they use Supergirl, and of course she fights Clark, and, you know, because that's what they do. But I don't know. I thought for a what if episode, but my only disappointment there was the surprise cameo of a character who was gone was Sheriff Adams. I'm like, you kidding me? We couldn't get the Kents or someone, right? I don't know. So
I guess that was just the producers of Smallville appreciating that actor and wanting to bring her back in some way.
Yeah, good for her.
That was one of my favorite things of listening to your podcast, going over how much you completely turned and flipped. How much you had said you hated Sheriff Adams, and then watching it for the podcast, you're like, I love this girl.
I have an open mind. I'm willing to change my points of view based on evidence.
Season 4.
Season perfect, right? You guys think I was pretty fair
that
to season
was
4,
fun.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, Transference, Run, these are great episodes. Onyx, come on. None of that
maybe not so much before you got to the season.
Right.
Once you were there.
And then Arctic, I don't know. Lex, I know you're a big fan of it, but I can barely remember it. What I remember most about it was reading the description on a Krypton site. Not Krypton site's fault. They were just posting the WB synopsis. And this is the synopsis, literally. And I'll have fun finding this and posting it when I get there on the podcast. But it's like, Brainiac puts Kara in the Phantom Zone and impersonates her, telling Lex Luthor Clark's secret and bringing him to the fortress. So I was like, holy shit. You just way to spoil the whole thing.
Yes.
So that's what I remember that more than I remember fake Supergirl. You don't know it's well, if you hadn't read the synopsis, you wouldn't know. But fake Supergirl, Brainiac, impersonating Supergirl, destroying a plane that Robert Ricardo is on and blowing up the beginning of the episode. If I'm remembering it correctly, that's how the episode starts. Because Robert Ricardo, the holographic doctor from Star Trek Voyager, is the recast Robert Teague.
I think Edward, right?
Edward Teague. That's right. It's Robert Queen.
It's Edward Robert Queen. Teague. Yeah.
Excuse yeah. So yeah, it's like that Robert. I love Robert Ricardo. He was my favorite character on Star Trek Voyager, the EMH. But he looks nothing like that guy from the flashbacks in Veritas. You know. Anyway.
You know what's hilarious is going back and watching the very the pilot of Arrow, and the girl who played Laura Lance, A, not her at all.
Sarah,
not
even Sarah Lance.
Blonde. Sarah Lance. Sarah on the boat, not even blonde.
Well, what's funny, talk about recasting. Now we're going to start going other places. This is fun. So, like, talk about recasting, right? What's funny in Arrow is the whole thing starts with Oliver is with Sarah Lance, Laura Lance's sister. He's cheating on her with her sister. You know, we have a different actress, whatever, one episode and done. There is an entire episode later in season one, which revolves around the fact they found a picture of a girl who looks like Sarah Lance, which is a brunette, dark hair, all this, right? And then they're like, this is her. We found her. It's not her, right? I'm like, oh, okay. So I thought, oh, well, they've closed that book. They were going to have at some point, they were going to say Sarah's still alive. And they did that and it's done. Then not only do they recast her with someone who looks completely different, you know, like that episode that nullifies the previous episode because she has blonde hair. She looks nothing like that girl. I've always considered going back. And I'm sure people on YouTube have done this. I've seen it on some level, like re-editing Arrow in chronological order with all the flashbacks. Right. But there's not enough of the reshoot of Katie Lotz as the original Sarah to do that properly. You'd have to use the footage from the pilot where it's somebody else. Because remember in, I don't know what episodes in season two it was, when we finally get some flashbacks with Sarah, like they use Katie Lotz to recreate some of the scenes from the pilot, but not all of them. So anyway, tangent, go ahead as you will. But speaking of recasting, right? They were smart never to recast Lex. That would have been unacceptable, inexcusable, right?
I mean, sure, if you don't count Darth Lex.
Yeah.
Or the older one.
Or the younger ones.
Okay, I take it.
The clones.
Well, no, and I actually, I don't know if you guys have heard, because this is coming out the week that, we're recording this the week that Cyborg came out, but Mackenzie Gray, the guy who played the scientist in Cyborg, he plays the older Lex in Lazarus in season 10, the opener. And as I understand it, you know, talking to Craig Byrne from Krypton Side about this, like, everybody on Smallville was like, of the understanding that, okay, well, Rosamond's going to come back for this. Right? Like, we're going to get him back for the season 10 opener, right? And we'll do that. And then he'll come back again at the end when this little baby Lex grows into Rosamond Lex. So that was the understanding. I don't know what happened. As we all know, negotiations seemed to break down with him behind the scenes, and that didn't happen. So they just cast Mackenzie Gray. And I don't know, like, how old was that guy was supposed to be? Like, 80?
<You know? laughs> No. Maybe
I think he was like 50.
60.
50, 60, yeah.
Oh, you're still hitting on Lois.
you don't age that much. Like, dream casting for this, I think I might have said this before on air. If not, I'm going to say it in Lazarus. The obvious person you should have got for this was John Shea from Lois and Clark.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
A perfect way to introduce him. Like, well, that doesn't look like Lex, but it's older and he played a Lex. Like, I think as fans, you would have accepted that more. Like, oh, that's cool.
You know, Superman shows tend to do... like legacy casting, like having Christopher Reeve come back for Smallville and stuff like that. They do they've done it with Clark. They've done it with Lois. I don't think I've ever seen someone who previously played Lex come on a new incarnation of Superman.
Speaking of that, so Michael Rosenbaum went live on Instagram the other day, and I just sat there and just constantly made, oh, loved you in Crisis. It was great when you showed up in Crisis.
Did you really? Did you comment that? What a troll, Dallas.
Several times, he ignored me. He did not mention it. He didn't say anything.
We hear it always told in the Smallville, do not condone or encourage that kind of behavior.
Not harassment of
just for the record, leave, fans of, total leave the Dallas stars media. Alone. Yeah. Casey, to your point, like there hardly hasn't been that many Lex Luthers. I mean, there are the guys from Superboy. The first guy, I think his name was John Wells. Somebody can correct me on Scott Wells. May correct me on that. He was the season one Lex Luthor from Superboy. And what they did was, ironically enough, that guy left, and they not only did they recast Lex, they recast Superboy on Superboy for season two, right? Superboy, no explanation why he looks different. Lex Luthor, they go above and beyond to explain this. Like, the character Lex Luthor, he has plastic surgery, and his vocal cords are changed. He's covered up with bandages, like in the first episode. And then he comes off, they come off, and he is try impersonate some other, like, successful businessman. So he's older and looks different. He uses toupees now. And he's played by Sherman Howard, who did the voice of Blight on Batman Beyond for several episodes. He's like a genre guest star. He's been on like Star Trek as a guest star and stuff like that. I thought he's actually a pretty good actor in other things. And from the limited amounts of Superboy I've seen, he's fun, you know. I guess you could have had him back on Smallville, but like you never like talk about the Forgotten Superman show. That's Superboy, you know. And so they probably didn't want to, hey, let's call up Stacey Heideck and see what she's up to. She can be on our show. Those are the only people I could think of. Like, if you could call Gerard Christopher, Stacey Heideck to be Jor-El and Lara, I think that would have been pretty cool. And then Sherman Howard for, like, you know, Lionel's brother, who we never heard of before, or something like that, right?
Well, they could have used, what's that guy? He's not a legacy casting, but I can't remember his name right now. The guy from Titanic, the guy that you always say should play Lex Luthor.
Billy Zane,
that's it. Because I saw him in a movie recently. I can't remember which one it was. But I was like, I actually agreed with you. I never thought about it before. But I was like, he's actually he would be a good Lex Luthor.
Thank you.
So it would have been nice. I got
validated.
A friend of mine just said to me today something about like it'd be nice if they got like Benedict Cumberbatch to do it as Lex Luthor.
What?
I don't know.
Well, this would have been like 10 years ago when he wasn't really
not Smallville, around. Not Smallville, but like DCEU.
Oh, no.
Benedict Cumberbatch and Idris Elba, the two people that everybody wants to cast for everything.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, you forgot Michael B. Jordan as well.
Michael B. Jordan as well. Also. Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch is the white Michael B. Jordan or Idris Elba.
We need to get that quoted.
Yeah.
We need a quote on a shirt. It's like Zach.
I stand by that quote. So, it's true though.
Michael B. Jordan actually came up quite a bit from Chronicle. Him and Dan DeHaan, they both, you know, kind of went on and had good careers, which I didn't expect. You expected the guy who survived in that movie to maybe go on, and but I haven't seen him in anything else.
Right,
Dan DeHaan. Well, if they ever made a young Luke Skywalker movie, like Skywalker, a Star Wars story, and they showed Luke flying those T-16s in Beggar's Canyon. Dane DeHaan should be the guy that played young Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, he does look like a young.
Although he's probably older than Mark Hamill was when he made Star Wars. He looks younger because people just look younger today. But
wasn't he Green Goblin in
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man? Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
He hasn't done much. That's why you haven't seen him.
That's why I haven't seen him since. Yeah. That's why I haven't seen him since.
He just did that. He just did that movie with Cara Delevingne, whatever, Valerian or something.
Oh, another high concept sci-fi movie that did not take off.
Did not do well. Yeah.
Dallas, were you going to say that Sebastian Stan looks just like Mark Hamill? Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. He does.
Get that from Mark Hamill?
I know I've seen that online, but yeah,
he champions that all the time.
It's true. If you look side by side, they did like a face swap. Like I couldn't tell who was who. Now, if they ever make a Luke Skywalker, like I feel so robbed about not seeing Mark Hamill do awesome Luke Skywalker things in the sequel trilogy. So I'm really torn on like if they do a Disney Plus show about Luke after Return of the Jedi. I'm like, you kind of already ruined the character, in my opinion. You're free to like it if you want. It'd be cool to see Luke Skywalker do stuff, but I wanted to see Mark Hamill Luke Skywalker do stuff in a movie, not Sebastian Stan do it on a TV show. So that's where I stand on that. So.
I think we should all just take a moment and appreciate we are getting Ian McGregor back.
Are
as
we?
As Obi-Wan.
Yes. Are we?
Yeah. I'm yeah. sorry. Ian
it
McGregor?
Was just delayed.
Did it was I? Delayed indefinitely.
Was it?
Yes. I was going to let him go with that. No, he came out and said that the rumors about it being shut down completely and everything was blown out of proportion that they were still working on it. I mean, I'm sure right now nothing's happening, but...
Move along.
Nothing to see.
There is one thing I wanted to see. I was like, oh, good. When they said they were going to do... See, this is where we're spiraling off the tangents. This is fine. So...
It's the best.
When they said they were going to do standalone Star Wars movies, I was like, oh, I can't wait. Kenobi, a Star Wars story. I am there. I will go see your stupid other movies, so I get that. Although I didn't see Solo because Last Jedi upset me so much. That was the problem. Disney learned all the wrong lessons. Like, huh? No,
Solo would not have healed that hole.
Well, yeah, you know, no, I ended up watching it eventually, so I have seen it. And it wasn't as bad as people said. I'm very curious to see what the original version would have been with the guys who won an Oscar for Into the Spider-Verse who got fired by Lucasfilm. Good call. I can't believe they learned the wrong lesson. They were like, oh, I guess no one wants to see a prequel movie about an established character in Star Wars anymore. Let's cancel the Obi-Wan movie. No one wanted to see a Han Solo prequel. Like, with a new actor, Ewan McGregor is as much, or if not more so, Obi-Wan Kenobi than Alec Guinness ever was. Yeah. So when you give us an established, that's the one thing, regardless of what people think about, this is my Star Wars podcast now, but whatever, regardless of what people think about
I'm for it. I'm the here prequels, for it.
Yeah, I'm here for right? it.
Everyone agrees that Ewan McGregor was arguably the best part of that as Obi-Wan. Everybody loves him. So you do that in a movie that makes so much money. That's what we needed. That's what the fans needed to heal the wounds. And they turn into a Disney Plus show that's definitely on hold. Now, I am looking forward to it, but I am worried because Obi-Wan is the one character that has not been ruined in Star Wars yet. Okay? Every other character has been ruined in some capacity. By the prequels, the sequels, or the cartoons.
Star Wars Christmas special.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. He wasn't in that. So Alec Guinness was like, go away. I'm not coming back as a ghost for this crap. Because, I mean, let's be honest. Anakin was ruined by the prequels. Luke was ruined by the sequels. Han and Leia were ruined by the sequels. Especially
it's a very
Leia.
Inconsistent saga. It's really
not so much Han. Darth Maul was fine. You know, the Clone Wars did some cool stuff with him. But I think, spoilers for the Clone Wars or Rebels or all these animated shows, I've seen bits and pieces of them. I actually have liked what I've seen. There's a really cool episode of Rebels where old Obi-Wan and old Darth Maul meet up.
That is the best fight.
It's amazing.
I could talk for hours
about
that fight.
Somebody just showed me that fight recently.
Right?
Yeah. And you think, I was so happy with that.
It was so perfect. It's so cool. And then the conversation they have at the end, right? Although, I think if you made an Obi-Wan movie, they'd have to like ignore that and do it again in live action, right? What do you guys?
Yes.
You guys feel strongly about that, right? What do you think? If they ignored that episode just to give us an Obi-Wan Darth Maul live action, would you be okay with that?
Yes.
I don't think that, if they did it right. I mean, that's really what it comes down. That's my only contention about having the Obi-Wan show is because it was like, I've already, like, what are they going to do with him more interesting than what we've already seen with the Darth Maul stuff? You know, like is this him on Tatooine? Is this him like what's the show supposed to be about?
Has anybody seen the book from a certain point of view that they came out with?
That is on a wish list. That's been on my Amazon wish list for like a year now.
So
but yes.
So the book is a huge retcon. Like they
okay.
No, I'm gonna put this out there. The book
Star
is a huge
Wars
retcon.
A
it's a bunch of
Chris. Is this Legends or is it actual EU?
No, I think it's actual EU. It came out for the anniversary and stuff. Okay. So what it is it's a bunch of short stories. It's from a bunch of different perspectives, but they go along like the same timeline as the original trilogy. So it's like you have a short story from Grand Moff Tarkin's point of view when he's on the Death Star, or like you have a short story from like the guy that didn't fire on the droids to explain why he didn't fire on the droids. It's stupid stuff like that, but there's also some really good ones. Like there's a really good Obi-Wan story about when he's, you know, talking about like the interactions he tried to have with Luke and that Owen wouldn't let him have and stuff like that. So for that alone, and there's a Yoda one that's pretty good too. For that alone, it's worth reading, but a lot of it is just like, okay, let's reckon, why didn't those guys fire on the escape pod with the droids? Here, let's put this big long story in here that talks about it. But a lot of it's pretty interesting, so I would recommend it.
Okay. I think there's a lot of potential for one. There's a couple of ways you could do it, right? He could just stay on Tatooine the whole time. It'd be like a man with no name, Western, you know, Law and Order, and on the outskirts.
The Mandalorian?
That's a good point. Well,
but it's going to be along that same type of storyline, right? Where, like, it all ties in together to some big story.
Yeah, but there's the, or he could leave and go on some adventures and, like, go fight. See, I think it'd be cool if he encountered Darth Vader. I know people would be like, that's stupid. I think it'd be cool if he, like, tries to redeem
cool.
Anakin again, and they have a fight, and it's like a cool fight, unlike the one in New Hope. Star Wars is an amazing film, but I am shocked that George Lucas, of all people, did not update that duel because it's not good.
It's not good at all.
You have a guy in a hood, and then another guy in a spacesuit mask. Like you get two stunt doubles, you can do whatever you want. Did you guys see that? Was it scene 13137? Did you see that fan remake?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah.
Very
that
good.
Had the right idea. Guys, you look it up. Look up, for those who haven't seen it, you want to see it, go Google like Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader rematch.
Re-edit or something.
Re-edit, yeah. Scene 137, I think that's what it is. I don't know. They had the right idea, but they went way too over the top. Like, they're like going through all these hallways and flying around. I'm like, no.
I think they were trying to match their episode 3 fight.
Yeah, to kind of make it seem like he was,
you know, like, I think that's what they were thinking.
But what Lucas used to say, he was like, well, Darth Vader, he's a half a robot, so that's why he's slow, and, you know, and Obi-Wan's old. And
I haven't heard that impersonation yet.
I cut him in half and called him Ewoks, you know?
there's the explanation, too, that, like, he's really stalling. So,
yeah,
like, they're not actually trying to accomplish anything there except for use time.
Well, the problem with Lucas's explanations about that, and that worked up until like episode 2, because you had Count Dooku, who's 90 or whatever, like doing all this crazy stuff. And then you have Grievous, who is a droid, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, I didn't expect them to do backflips and all that, but I wanted something where they're not just like banging two sticks together. Anyway, whenever they do another special edition, I would love for them to update that from the original Star Wars. But
no, they need to stop playing around with Star Wars.
If they just let us have the original versions, do whatever you want. That's the real issue, I think.
Yeah.
So hey, what did y'all think of episode 9? Let's talk about that.
I got to see it for free.
Okay.
So I got to take all my kids.
I still haven't seen it.
That says a lot.
They were excited the entire time. They loved it. I was just like, oh, well, I mean, I'm here. It's free. I guess I can't really complain that much.
Admittedly, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I have seen them all. But the last, I do have a friend who's really big into Star Wars. And he'll never own the last 3. So, I mean, that kind of says it all to me. And I've seen the newest 3, and I agree with him. They're very inconsistent, right? Like the middle chapter obviously stopped whatever. The Force
Last
Awakens
Jedi.
Was kind of going for it. Yes, yeah. Last Jedi. It really just ruined the momentum that The Force Awakens built. And
Absolutely.
Then they really couldn't recover from that in whatever the third one was called. I can't remember.
The Rise of Skywalker.
The Rise of Skywalker.
How could you forget such an amazingly original title? So.
Yeah, and then it wasn't even Skywalker to the very end when she's
that
like,
was
I'm Skywalker.
The worst. I literally just booed. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that's, I'm Rey.
I did like that she
Rey
gave herself
Skywalker.
A yellow.
I love the yellow lightsaber. I play like the Star Wars video games back in the day, like Jedi Knight and all that stuff, I'd always give myself a yellow lightsaber because I wanted to be like a little bit different than what's in the movies. But yeah, giving herself Luke's name after taking Han's ship and Poe's droid and then taking Luke's house was a little much, in my opinion. Like I wanted her to be Luke's daughter, and I think that's what The Force Awakens was setting up, right?
I wanted her to be Obi-Wan's daughter.
Well, granddaughter, right?
Yeah,
what if it? I mean, Obi-Wan died like 35 years ago. So,
yeah, she.
How old is she supposed to be?
Yeah,
I thought they went so far out of their way to not make her Luke's daughter. When that would have made the most sense, and then oh, by the way, she's Rey Skywalker. I'm like, I shake my head at that.
Did you guys believe the turn of Kylo Ren like kind of turning back? Did you guys
by talking to Harrison Ford? No.
Yeah. Okay. Me neither. I didn't buy that. I was like, come on.
What he should have done is talk to an Anakin Skywalker Force Ghost played by Hayden Christensen, but they're so prequel shy they won't do it. But that's that. Like, let me talk to your grandfather who you've gotten this all mixed up, right? Chris is shaking his head. Chris, you agree? What are your thoughts on episode 9?
Not as upset as you are.
I'm not enraged. I liked it better than The Last Jedi.
So yeah, I mean. I look at these as I'm not writing them. So like I could I do something better? Like I'm sure in my mind I think I could. So I'm trying to take it for what it is and just like experience it as it, knowing it's never gonna hit everybody's expectations. But I walked out of the theater like think, you know, this is a whole ball of CGI and we gotta blow everything up to be way better and more advanced than the other, which annoys me, like that kind of crap. But I still like some of the emotion beats still hit for me. I would say, like, I didn't hate any of them, but to the points that we're making here, like, I don't like how it took 3 movies to figure out who Rey are. I think, like, they tried way too hard to have surprises, have shocks and twists and turns, kind of like the Darth Vader twist, but then, like, they just hyped it up way too much, and I still can't believe that if you're going to put a trilogy together, you're going to let 3 different people do what they want with it. type deal. Like, it should have been a driving force. So the fact that The Last Jedi is so out of, I don't know. But then just to the point about Kylo Ren, like, if they were going to have him turn, I think they waited too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there were way too many redeeming points. And to the point where, like, even at the end where he's like, he wanted just to be with Rey and do his own thing and, like, you know, kill the past, let it die, whatever. But then the fact that he just basically goes back to what he was before when she says no kind of thing, it didn't
see that would have been interesting, like in The Last Jedi, if like she did join forces with him and like, oh, this is something we haven't seen before, right? But to have him, if you think about it, Rise of Skywalker, he has a conversation with his memory of Harrison Ford, which probably cost like $6 million to get him to show up, but he wouldn't shave or get a haircut for some reason. But he has no dialogue after that scene. After he's redeemed, he says, ouch. That's it. That's crazy.
I actually really enjoyed it. I also enjoyed The Last Jedi.
Uh-oh.
How do you like both? Explain that to us. This is a mystery to me.
That's kind of shocking. I agree with you. I would say I liked it.
The thing is, with The Last Jedi, when I was in theaters, I absolutely loved it. And I read some of the other problems some people had with it, but I don't know. I just enjoyed it in the moment. I didn't nitpick it too much, and I didn't let any of the things that people said on the internet bother me.
But hey, that's the way you should feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you like something or you don't like it, you know, that's your opinion. Don't be like, man, I don't know what to think. Let me see what the internet tells me to think. So I respect that. No, and I guess I really loved The Force Awakens. Like, I loved The Force Awakens, and that's when The Last Jedi, like, I saw it and I didn't know what to make of it. But like, the more I thought about it, the more I didn't like it. And then by the time Rise of Skywalker came out, like, it had to deal with what Last Jedi did, like, which was blow up whatever J.J. Abrams was doing. And so it's hard to judge it on its own plan. It's just a mess, man. I mean, like, but hey, I'm glad you liked them all. And I look forward to you get. Are you going to get the Star Wars set on 4K when it comes out and all that stuff?
Well, I'll be getting the Blu-ray on Tuesday, I believe, is when it comes out.
There you go. That's a fun tangent. So. Hey, I love The Mandalorian, and I think Rebels and Clone Wars is good stuff. So I don't hate everything.
I've never seen Rebels, but everybody loves that show.
I've barely dived into the animated Star Wars stuff. I saw the Clone Wars movie, and that's about it.
That is terrible. Don't judge the rest of the show off that.
So that was really bad.
That was terrible.
I forgot about that. But y'all remember before they did the Clone Wars series with the new CGI and everything, there was like an anime Clone Wars.
Yeah, the guy that did Samurai
like
Jack.
12 episodes. Yeah. Did them. Yeah.
Yeah. Tarkovsky, I think is his name. Those were great. Those are the best thing to come out of the prequel era. Those 2D, what you're talking about, I think it's called The Clone Wars as opposed to Clone Wars. Those are amazing. That's everything I ever wanted out of the prequel trilogy. Those are the best thing to come out of the prequels. I agree. If no one's seen those, look them up. They're great.
And Casey, you know, like Zach said, if you like it. I mean, I like Superman Returns, and nobody does. So I can understand that. Go with what you like, man.
Green Lantern fan over here.
All right, get off. That's
too much.
Push it so far. Come on.
Well, to be fair, Dallas also likes Man of Steel better than the original Superman movies.
Yeah.
Did you hear they're getting rid of that from continuity, though? The article came out. They're trying to, not trying to. The Flash movie is officially going to erase all of Henry Cavill's.
Yeah. Let me know when that Flash movie happens.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's what they're saying.
Probably have 12 kids.
I mean, they've done it apparently at least probably multiple have 12 times kids on by the then, Arrowverse. So of course they could do it on in the movies.
Yeah, I would wager good money that the last we ever see of Ezra Miller in a Flash costume is from Christ on Infinite Earths, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So, wait.
Maybe the Snyder Cut, if we get that.
Right.
Oh my god, the Snyder Cut again, really?
Dude, yes. They need to release
Release the Snyder Cut.
Hollywood is shut down. So what you gotta, you just post that thing, it's all done. You just gotta do some CGI, release it. Alright? Like, they would make so much money if they just released the Snyder Cut. If they launched HBO Max on April 1st, not as an April Fool's joke, but literally launched on April 1st, and said, watch the Snyder Cut. You know how many people would subscribe to that? You know how much money they would make?
And I'm not going to subscribe, but I would for that.
You know how many people I hit up for the subscription? Yeah,
exactly. That's it.
I bought someone's subscription.
Zack Snyder keeps posting information about it almost every day.
They need as the term goes, they need to crap or get off the pot with that, though, because I'm getting kind of tired. I would love to see the Snyder Cut. I want to see alternate versions of all these movies. I have no doubt that it would be at least more consistent within itself and what came before. Sure. But let's either see it or don't see it. Like, every week there's a, hey guys, Zack Snyder posted a cool black and white behind the scenes photo of Steppenwolf. I'm like, okay, great. Anyway. So speaking of all that stuff, the Arrowverse, right? Let's segue into that. Casey, are you're caught up in the Arrowverse? Is that right?
No, I'm definitely not caught up in the entire Arrowverse.
What have you been doing?
I did finish. I've been watching the Arrowverse. That's how long it takes.
Right.
I did finish year four, and I'm
year four of Arrow season four.
Right. I just like to call it year four because that's. It's either saying season four of Arrow, season two of The Flash.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see what you mean. That okay. Using the chronological viewing order that we talked about last time with that link that you shared with us.
Right.
You are now up to speed through the end of the fourth year of the existence of the Arrowverse. I gotcha.
Yeah, I've seen the first episode and a couple of second episodes of year five of the Arrowverse.
Season five starts pretty good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I especially like how what they did having Superman show up on Supergirl. I also like how the S on Superman, it's the same S they used on Lois and Clark.
On the very top,
instead of having this the perfect square on the top of the S, it's more of a V almost.
It's like the official V. TV Superman S is what you're saying.
I guess so. but then again, also the actor, he plays it well, but there's just something about his look. He almost looks like he could be a bad guy.
Like in a leather jacket and a white t-shirt. Yeah.
No, it's more the bone structure of his face.
He looks like
angular and sharp.
A greaser from Grease.
That's what I meant. Like, he looks like he's hanging out with John Travolta.
Exactly.
Tyler Hoechlin.
He looks like a baseball player on 7th Heaven.
Is he a baseball player on 7th Heaven? Is this some kind of in joke?
That was like his start, right? Like, that was one of the first things he did.
7th Heaven.
And he went to Teen Wolf, right? Is that what he's from? Like, most popular Teen Wolf?
You guys think the cast of Smallville has problems, okay? The cast of 7th Heaven. Just be happy we're not those guys. So, hey, so what did you think of Tyler Hoechlin's first couple episodes? Because I loved his introduction on Supergirl. I think that's the best he's been on that show.
Yeah, I think I think he's actually a pretty good actor. He coming from Smallville, I mean, it's nice that he actually, there's a difference between Clark Kent and his Superman. Like, he's actually makes his Clark Kent kind of bump.
Hey, Clark Kent in the last five episodes of Smallville had that secret persona down.
Okay, fair enough. but he is actually quite good at that. The physical side of it, being, especially when he comes back, he actually looks like he does get thinner from when he first appeared to like the year later. He's a little bit, you know, the photos went around that he's smaller than Green Arrow and stuff. And I've seen those two in person. So like, he is smaller and I can kind of see that. And Superman, you want to be basically the biggest guy in the room. Like Brandon Routh, when he's in the room, you notice him. Like you can't, even when he's in the background, you're like, that's Superman. He's a leader. This Superman doesn't have that. You don't want to follow him. Also, I do not like the costume.
Yo, the costume is, the cape is terrible.
It's the problem. The cape is,
if the cape was tucked into the neck, it'd be much better.
He's not, like, terrible. Like, I can enjoy him. I enjoy the acting of how he does it. But yeah, like, basically, the physical appearance of him as a person and the suit and everything kind of doesn't work for me. So he kind of looks a little, like, he's a rocker a little bit.
Kevonte, what are your thoughts on this?
No, it's exactly the same. Exactly the same as you, Lex.
All right, right on.
Yeah, I think we were talking about a couple Patreons ago. We were talking about Crisis on Infinite Earth. I was talking about Brandon Routh and how, like, that, like, I watched everything he did. Every time he talked, I was fully listening. Yeah, Tyler Hoechlin's kind of like a, I mean, I'm bigger than him, and I'm not Superman, you know? So it just kind of makes me... Like, I get why, like, there's that one scene in one of the episodes where the guy punches him, and he's like, I understand why you're shooting, but why punching? He's like, because he probably thinks he can take you. because you're not that big. Like, you know, so he's just not intimidating. Like, Superman needs to be a little intimidating, I think.
It's like if you had the physicality and looks of Henry Cavill, but the characterization of Tyler Hoechlin, you'd have a perfect Superman.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And you know who that is? That's Christopher Reeve, everyone. So.
You know who could probably kick all of our asses, though? Tyler Hoechlin.
I'd like to elaborate a little bit more on Tyler Hoechlin's portrayal of Superman. Mainly the reason, besides just the bone structure of his face, is he reminds me of another actor named Patrick Fisher, who was on Once Upon a Time, and he was a bad guy. And he was also on Lost as kind of a bad guy. And he just has this menacing look about him. And if you look him up, you'll find he looks a little bit like at least like he could be related to Tyler Hoechlin.
Okay.
And that, so it's when I see, you know, Tyler Hoechlin, it just reminds me of him. And that's kind of mainly what it is as far as my problem with him portraying Superman.
I have optimism for Tyler Hoechlin and his new show, because they're giving him a show. I just, like, of all the available Superman actors, he's the last one on the list I would like to see in a weekly show, you know?
I do have a question that I don't mind being spoiled for. Mm-hmm. Have they shown Perry White on the Arrowverse yet?
They have not.
No.
Okay, so he's just been on that phone call in when we first were introduced to Clark.
Yep, have it to you in a jiffy. Yeah. You know who Calista Flockhart is? Cat Grant. You know who her husband is?
Yes, Harrison Ford.
He would be the perfect Perry White for this.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, he just did Call of the Wild. I think he'll do this.
Yeah. He gets touchy about that nerdy stuff, man.
I'm not going to have to talk to an alien, huh?
I love, though, how they treated Cat Grant's character when she saw Clark Kent. I mean, to me, it felt like they just kind of took from Lois and Clark the way they had established some of those characters.
I like that too. I Cat Grant, for example, right? It's a character. I'm like, Calista Flockhart, Cat Grant. I don't know. I really liked her in Supergirl season one. She's actually one of my favorite characters. What she brought to the table, her conversations with Kara, that relationship, that was the heart of a lot of that show. And I think that's what's missing now that she's not there. Now they moved to Canada. Of course, they moved production from LA to Canada. She was going to go to Canada. She's living with Harrison Ford in LA. So I think that's missing. But yeah, if they ever had Perry White on the show, I'd love for it to be Harrison Ford. And, you know, speaking of that first scene, between when you first see Tyler Hoechlin as Clark Kent and turns to Superman, if that had been the last scene of Smallville and Tom Welling had done that, you would never hear me say a bad word about the Smallville series finale. Like, that's all I wanted out of life, was to see, like, him go be Clark Kent, go to a phone booth, go down an alley, get into a costume, fly off, and save a space plane. Is it that much to ask?
I don't think save a space plane.
Apparently it was.
It's a very important component.
You have to save a space plane.
Or a helicopter, whatever.
Aren't they doing an HBO, like with Brendan Routh? Aren't they in talks to do like the Kingdom Come, like a 12-issue miniseries?
Those are just rumors, unfortunately. Okay. I don't think that probably came from We Got This Covered, which I would not believe, by the way.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember.
But no, I had seen those same rumors as well, Lex. But I think those are just rumors. Those are just wishful thinking, I think, unfortunately.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Every time I see a story posted by We Got This Covered, I almost don't even click on it, since they screwed up with, I think it was the Michael Rosenbaum story, by saying he was coming back for Crisis.
Well, they also said Linda Carter was coming back for Crisis, you know. You know the actress who's been on your show, who played Wonder Woman, yet you have no Wonder Woman representation on Crisis.
Wasn't apparently Michael Keaton also supposed to show up in Crisis at some point?
Yeah, he
was going to be in that newspaper. I don't know if you guys see that newspaper that Knox was supposed to be reading. Like, they had a picture of Michael Keaton, and it said, like, Bruce Wayne, millionaire Bruce Wayne marries socialite Selina Kyle. But it was just a picture of Michael Keaton from Batman 89. I guess they couldn't license the picture of, like, the two of them together. I don't know. But I think that's what they meant.
Didn't that newspaper say something about the Joker, even though he's dead?
So the one they actually used in the episode was a drawing of Batman by Jerry Ordway, who did the Batman 89 graphic novel. So that's cool. But it's like, Batman captures Joker. I'm like, what is, what? He killed the Joker like 30 years ago, you know? unless it's Batman Beyond and it's Return of the Joker, and that's why the Bat-Signal looked different than it should have on Earth 89. Think about it.
Well, then that's not even the real Joker. That's just Robin.
That's very true. The third, the second or third Robin, depending on how you look at it. So, Casey, you're on year four of the Arrowverse. That means that you're on Flash Season 3?
Correct. I just started it. I've seen two episodes of Flash Season 3 so far.
You've started year five. Yeah, so.
Correct.
Flash Season 3, Arrow Season 5, Legends Season
2.
Okay.
And Supergirl Season 2.
All right. Very good. Very good. What do you think of Legends so far?
Well, I've only seen, I just watched the premiere of that season tonight, a couple hours before we started recording. Very interesting the way they went back to World War II and went and kidnapped Einstein.
Oh yeah, don't get attached to most of that cast.
Yes, yeah, give me a heads up. I like season two more than season one. I think they kind of finally figured they embraced the wackiness of their premise by then, and then it was. I mean, I haven't kept up with it as much as I have would like to with any of these shows, but season one was kind of a chore to get through.
Which season brings in George Lucas?
Season one, I think.
Is it season one? I thought that was really. I loved that episode.
Which one?
When they go meet George Lucas.
That's season. No, that's later.
Oh yeah,
that's not season one. That's later. I don't know.
It's got to be one or two because I haven't seen anything past season two.
The season one where they do a famous guy, Steve Jobs.
It was Bill Gates. It wasn't Steve Jobs. It was.
Oh, you're right.
Ray Palmer was a professor, teaching Bill Gates' father, and he's like, "Your son is Bill Gates." And he's like, that sounds really good, actually. As far as, because he was talking about, he's referred to his son William.
Yeah.
But the thing about
stuff like that.
The thing about Legends of Tomorrow, man, talk about trying to keep track of shows or movies with time travel. That is difficult to keep up with. I thought Back to the Future was complicated with everything they did and trying to track where the DeLorean was. And at one point, there's four DeLoreans in one portion of time. Yeah. Man, you really got to be paying attention when you're watching Legends of Tomorrow with all the different time periods they go to.
Well, they have a lot of fun with it, and I think they're pretty self-aware, and I think that helps. Like, if they took stuff seriously, I'd probably be like, this show is ridiculous, right? But it knows it's ridiculous, and that's why I'm cool with it. Yeah.
And also, the way they did the Flash, at least the beginning and change the timeline, it's like suddenly he's got another coworker in his office, and
oh, that's where you are, yeah. Flashpoint. Oh, what a disappointment Flashpoint was.
Spoiler alert:
two episodes of it.
Yeah. It's very disappointing. But it should have been like universe changing, you know. And all they did was you'll find this out shortly, Casey, but they changed John Diggle's kid.
I did see that one, yeah, and that explained what you guys were talking about.
They fixed it in Crisis, they got them both back, yeah.
But didn't it give Cisco and Caitlin powers?
The last thing I saw,
it gave Wally West powers.
Caitlin's hand was like starting to freeze up.
Yeah, they made her kill a frost, and they killed Cisco's brother.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah, and then they had Wally and Jesse.
I forgot all about Cisco's brother.
Yeah.
I did too.
I guess so did he, because they're friends now. They're fine.
Yeah, they're good now.
The Flash was like holding it together, you know, barely with the timelines up until Flashpoint. And then it all just didn't make any sense. Like the whole reverse Flash story and out. Now, did he never become Harrison Wells? I don't know.
That's very confusing.
Are you current? Flash stuff. Are you watching it currently?
No, but I do know that he keeps coming back in other people's bodies somehow.
He's back again. I don't even think they try to explain it anymore.
Yeah. He shows up, he's helping Damian Dark in the season premiere of Legends of Tomorrow in season two of that show. That was
big in season two.
Yeah, no, he's part of the Legion of Doom in season two. And I like the other actor, the guy from Mask of Zorro.
Matt Lesher?
Yes.
Still blows my mind every time you talk.
The guy that actually was at the Abarthon?
That's
Captain Love, man. Put some respect on that guy.
That is a great movie. That is an underrated movie, The Mask of
Zorro. One of my favorites.
I've never seen the sequel, though. Should I bother?
Don't.
Okay, that's what I figured. It's like, why did you come out 15 years after the first one? You know? Yeah, they, I like both. I mean, that is shocking that I think they did a great job casting both reverse Flashes. Like, well done. You know, for all the screw-ups you've done over the years, Flash.
And he, who is it? Which one plays Harry Wells most of the time?
Tom Cavanaugh.
Tom Cavanaugh. He is a fantastic actor.
Yeah, but I still don't like Sherlock Wells or H.R. Wells for that matter.
Oh, that was dumb.
I didn't like Sherlock. Yeah.
Like, here's what they should have done. They should have done, I probably said this before, you guys are sick of me saying it. After Flashpoint, they should have just restored Earth One Harrison Wells, and then you're done. You don't have to come up with a new Wells or more every season because it's so stupid now.
I think at this point they're leaning into it.
When he shows up in Crisis and he's and they call him Nash Wells, I'm like, wait, what?
Yes.
Yeah. You haven't like broken the tip of all the wells that you're gonna see coming
you
up.
You haven't seen the Council of Wells.
Council of Wells.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Well, all that you're really not caught up, Zach. All the infinite wells are in the wells on Earth One now.
Nash.
Yeah, that was the newest episode.
Oh,
yeah.
is that why Super Well Flash is there? Right.
Yeah, he's gone now. Though I think he'll they kind of were like, we killed him. Well. I'm sure he'll come back.
He'll come back. Yeah, he'll come back.
Yeah, he better come back. He's actually like the best villain they have.
He's the best villain. Yeah,
that's why they keep going back to him. It's like Siler and Heroes. They have nowhere else to go. Unfortunately,
they ruined that with Siler.
That's the same deal. The only Malcolm villain Merlin. The only villain that's ever worked with is Lionel Luther. It's the only one. All right.
I was waiting for Heroes to come up.
John Glover is such a
hero. Has to come up. Has to come up.
Has to come up. We were talking about the writer's strike, and I was like,
Malcolm Merlin from Arrow, or at least the version on the Flash, anyway. Since they keep ending his character, yet they keep him around.
You're not done yet, Casey. You got a long way to go. Like these guys said. Man. I don't even know what they know, and I know you have a long way to go. All right. So,
y'all remember how you all jump? Last time on. Oh, nobody stays good in this world.
Yeah.
Apparently, nobody stays bad in this world either.
No, the problem is that the actors are good. So, like, people, fans like them and they want to keep them on the show and everything. So, they just have to keep reinventing ways to have them on past what they're supposed to be doing.
Which, that's a problem. Yeah. You really should have. Like, it's great for the actors to keep getting work, but the story should dictate what you need, not the actors. For a better story, anyways. But I get
it.
I
just watched an entire show go 8 years doing work,
so I understand, but still.
What'd you say, Kevonte?
We just watched an entire show basically do that for about 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
And that ties it all back to the beginning. Aren't you glad they let Michael Rosenbaum go? weren't you guys tired of Lex Luthor on Smallville? It's funny. Clark never met his full potential, I guess, on the show until Lex was gone. You know, like I would have loved season 9 Clark to interact with season 6 Lex Luthor right on the show.
Yeah.
Right? Cause that's like peak versions of them, despite Lexana and fake baby. Season 6 might be worse than season 7. I don't know. We're going to find out.
I can't wait.
Well, he hadn't met his island yet.
That is a terrible episode. Season 8. That is hard. I didn't like it. I didn't like it when it came out. Like, that's the origin of Green Arrow on this show. And then I really didn't like it when Arrow happened because I'm like, this is how you do it. But anyway.
One thing in season 6 of Smallville I really did like. I did like how they made Lana discover Clark's powers in the episode Promise.
I like the duel they showed you from both sides.
And, you know, I thought that was an editing mistake the second time see Clark disappear. until, Zach, you mentioned it when you at one point on your podcast, talking about how he just, boom, just clicks, like, disappears. And I had forgotten that we see it twice, and the first time we do see it with the zooming away.
Yeah, the effect,
and the second time, it's like he teleported without any editing.
Where's that gust of wind you're supposed to hear when you...
Right?
maybe you guys can answer a question, actually. When we were talking about Green Arrow, in the series finale, how did he beat the three Darkseid,
Granny? Well, he has friends in high places, Lex.
Yeah, I never understood that. He beat them so fast. It's like you could have killed them so long ago. I thought, like, the arrows were, like, special, but...
That would have made sense. As I understand it, this is not an answer, but this is my understanding. Had Rosenbaum not come back, there would have been more scenes with... Desaad and Granny Goodness and Godfrey, and I think that might have explained more, perhaps. But that's my only answer to that, because that's like, why didn't you just shoot them with an arrow at any point in time?
Okay, I've got a couple things. You obviously you had a problem with them playing with Clark and Pete playing basketball in jeans at lunch.
Yes, very well documented, yes.
But you didn't have a problem with Pete sleeping overnight at the school? I mean, I don't think I ever went to a school where they where that would even be allowed to happen. I think they'd kick you out.
You're also talking about a show that students just come and go as they please any time of
how
day.
How late was Chloe there every night? It's like 10 o'clock at night. She's just at the Torch office working on tomorrow's gotta get paper.
Out that, she's got to get out that morning edition.
It's going to come out at 7 a.m.
I got to defend
she's
that.
She's on a deadline.
I got to defend that. In my school, the theater kids, the guys in mass media and theater, they hung out there after all the time. Like they were constantly in and out, like using the studio and things like that. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, and band it was the same way. Yeah, and the band hall, like that place would just come and go pretty much all day. So
oh, that's right. I didn't do any activities. I sat around and watched Smallville.
And Zach.
Yes.
So to your point back in one of the football episodes where they're at the 40-yard line down by well, where you said they should have attempted a field goal based on the score.
Yes.
And they were at the 40-yard line. That would have been a 57-yard field goal at best and a 67-yard field goal at worst. No, I'm sorry, 20 yards difference. So 77-yard field goal at worst. So, but if they were on the even the best case scenario, how many, I don't know how many high schools, maybe it's different in Texas because high school football is such a big thing. But I don't know how many high schools have a kicker that can hit a 57-yard field goal.
Well, it should have had Clark kick it, and he could have made it.
Yeah, right.
Done.
Problem solved. Next question. No, Smallville was not Friday Night Lights when it came to football accuracy. We'll put it that way. But I'll have next time Lance is on, I'll have him break down that scenario for you because I think he had some strong opinions about the playbook on that one. So. Any other Smallville questions anyone needs answers to before we wrap up here?
In terms of Crisis and Arrow, I think it was a big letdown not to have Elena Huffman be her canary in it because she hangs out with all of them. Like I think like Rick Gonzalez and Juliana Harkavy, like they're good friends with her. So she's up there doing stuff. She's still trying to find acts. Like they could have had her come back in Crisis and had another canary.
It would have been weird, though, without... to have Elena Huffman, but not have Justin Hartley.
Why? It's not like they're married in that universe.
No, but if you're going to have a character from Smallville other than Clark, if you're going to bring back Elena Huffman, I almost feel like you have to bring back Justin Hartley.
You can't infringe upon the Stephen Amell God Oliver.
Yeah. You know, I
read
something.
There can only be one.
I can't remember where I saw this. I don't know if it was on a Facebook group, but I saw something like at one time they were going to try to get Justin Hartley to play an actor who was going to portray Oliver Queen.
That's
in
correct.
Movie.
Yeah, I think remember that. It was early on in Arrow season one, maybe season two. Justin Hartley was still, it was after Smallville, but before This Is Us. So he was doing like soap operas and stuff. So they could have got him.
Right. He was supposed to end up shadowing Oliver in the TV show.
In the show. Like in the episode, he would have played an actor playing Oliver Queen in a movie, which makes sense because, you know, they would make a movie about a guy like Oliver Queen.
Lifetime.
Yeah.
Lifetime.
So, that would have been cool.
Did he ever get his company back, by the way, from Palmer?
In which series?
In Arrow. Because I know Palmer Tech bought.
No, right up to the end, they always referred to it as Palmer Tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It become Smoke Tech in the future or something? Smoke Industries? Or
I think she started her own.
All right. Yeah. It was like a side hustle.
Yeah. That's the first time they're in 2046 in Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah.
2046. But, not the 2046 we see in Crisis for some reason, but nope. A different 2046. Does anyone have thoughts on the post Crisis continuity? I'm the last person to ask because I am not up to speed on anything. But
hey, Zach, I'm right there with you.
Okay.
I'm just with the Flash.
Okay.
It's not good.
It's just very inconsistent. That's all. The Flash, you know, they say how that it all went to a multiverse again, but then the Flash is like, oh, all these alternate characters that we had met have all vanished because there's only one universe now, one Earth. So it kind of seems to just be inconsistent. That's all.
Is Dante still dead?
Is Dante still dead?
Who's Dante?
Yeah,
that's Cisco's brother.
Oh, yes.
So Dallas is up to speed. Cavante, are you up to speed at all?
I am up to speed, yeah.
All right, so do you agree with his assessment of the situation?
Yeah, it's just they tried to sneak it by us in Crisis because they're like, oh, it's all becoming one, but not really. There's these other ones. They just don't know about it
yet.
Hey,
Tom Welling's still alive.
Yeah, like, yeah. Hey, so just so people wouldn't be pissed off about their favorite characters being killed. So, yeah, it's it kind of makes it seem like that entire thing was kind of for nothing now. Like, they didn't need to do Crisis on Infinite Earths. They could have done another
That's
crossover.
That's like every single one of the crossovers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but, like, it's just, it's like, the stakes are kind of like, no one's gone that we really weren't expecting.
No one's ever really
gone.
Haven't we?
No, yeah.
Star Wars. Come on.
Yeah, it just kind of feels like there was no stakes to it. Like, everyone's, like, all the actors, like, the characters are, like, acting like a big deal. Like, Cisco's like was freaking out for a couple of episodes. Like, everything's, you know, crazy. I have a Superman T-shirt, but then like everyone's like, okay, whatever.
I have a Superman kind of go t-shirt. On.
How about his book of he's got like trading
cards
baseball for every
cards,
villain.
Yeah, he's like trading cards for all the new
wow.
villains.
When did he take the time?
Every villain from like every multiverse, he's got a trading card for now.
Oh, but so you're asking how he found pictures of everybody like
that? I don't want to ask. I'm just pointing out.
I want to know how he got life-size cardboard cutouts of Zoom's parents in season 2 to freak him out. You guys remember that? That's what that reminded me of.
I do.
Forgot
yes.
all about that.
It's like a haunted house. It's like, oh, it's your mom's cutout. It's like, oh, we got you. We got you, not Jay Garrick. So... fun things to ponder, but apparently they're not handling it well, and I can't say I'm shocked. They're so spread out between, you know, what, 5-6 shows now. I mean, Black Lightning, how are they handling the multiverse?
He was flying, talking to them on like a radio, like, yo, it was crazy, Superman's real, and then like they kind of went back to their stuff.
That's it.
You can you should look at it. It's actually quite funny. You should look it up on YouTube. Like, he's flying and he's like, I don't even think he's like, he's just like, yo, you can't believe what I just did. It was like crazy, and like all these things happened, and Superman is real, man. And I, like, that's kind of like all the shows, though. They're like, hey, this crazy like thing we should all have PTSD from happened. Anyway, now we're on to our normal stuff.
Back to stop this villain of the week.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. Like,
the only ones who remember, though, are the Paragons, right? And anyone, yeah. Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Reveals. Yeah.
But somehow Superman didn't know that he had two kids now. Remember that? What was that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like they forgot he wasn't a Paragon.
Was he a Paragon? No.
He was not.
Nope. He wasn't supposed a Paragon. To have his memories.
No, uh-oh. Not that. Even the Arrowverse knows the Brandon Routh Superman is better. All right? They made him the Paragon. So, have they kicked Brandon Routh off Legends yet, by the way?
Yeah, his last episode was the last week, wasn't it?
He just left, right?
Yeah, he just left.
Yeah, because he married Damian Darks. Oh, and that was so funny. I watched that after we recorded that podcast, and you had used the phrase characters who do unredeemable things ending up at the Thanksgiving table, turn around, Legends is a wedding, and everyone's hugging it out with Damian Dark.
But he was there for it?
Yeah, he showed up.
I thought he was dead.
Like five times over?
Guys, we all know better.
No one's ever
apparently
really
the gone. Crisis just brought him back to life.
they brought him back to life, and now he's dead because John he killed himself and he's in hell.
Yeah,
this is why I don't watch stupid comic book TV shows. No, I'm just
kidding. Well, Zach, you can catch up now with that list.
This is, right. I can't wait. This is amazing. So.
And you can see all the Flash villains come back, but now they're all the same villains, but different people are playing them now. So I guess, you know, because they could get Killer Cole back and all that.
That was clever.
It's the best way to do it, yeah.
What,
it
really is there was. Is there a new Captain Cold?
Not yet, but I not assume yet. There will be because they're doing it with the Turtle and all these other villains. Mirror Master.
The Turtle! The Turtle! Oh my god, the Turtle! Doctor I forgot White. About the Turtle.
She's a female now.
Mentioning Captain Cold reminded me of that scene from like this second to last episode of Smallville. We're at the round table.
Yes!
Yeah.
And... When that episode aired live, I didn't know who Captain Cold was.
Like, who's this guy in a parka?
Yeah, but now that the question I have still to this day is, who was the robot looking thing that had the weird looking antenna like
Black
head?
Manta?
That is Black Manta,
yeah,
bro.
Black Manta.
Haven't
Black
you seen Manta. Aquaman?
Nah, you know, I have Aquaman. I've yet to watch it.
Dude, stop watching the Arrowverse right now and go watch Aquaman. Right? I loved Aquaman. That's arguably my favorite
Aquaman
DC
was a great movie.
That is actually my favorite DC movie.
But
DC
if you weren't familiar with the universe of Aquaman, I totally understand why you wouldn't know who that was. There's Dallas has a trident right here. Amazing. Dude, what?
I'm sorry. A trident only has three tines.
I know.
Do you have a ring though?
Yeah, somewhere.
All right. why do you have somewhere. That? I killed a man with a trident.
We killed a guy.
Oh my god!
If we ever do a live video of us at a round table, we can all dress up as one of those characters and just
yes, exactly.
Have a little round table.
We'll have our file of what hero we're supposed to get. I assume, because it's been forever since I've seen Prophecy. I assume the one Captain Cold had was the Flash. I would hope they have a picture of Kyle Gallner in his file. So you might remember.
I think so.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't look that
videos.
Closely.
Yeah, because as I recall,
that roundtable makes so much more sense now. It's why they would have those villains. They're not just everyone going to gang up on Superman.
No, they freeze.
Really fight the Justice League.
Yeah, but why would they tease that in the penultimate episode of the series just to ignore it? I'm like, oh, is the Legion of Doom and the Justice League going to show up in the series finale? This is awesome. But no. And poor Metallo, he got Supergirl. Sorry, bro. She's in the future. Like, you're never going to find her. Yeah. You know?
Was she there yet?
No, she had left already. Like, that, I believe that very episode, she had gone to the future.
Yeah.
Because Prophecy.
Because that's like the next to last thing.
And then, of course, Black Manta had Aquaman. Who did Solomon Grundy have? Do you might remember? I don't know.
I would think Batman, but there is no Batman in that show. So
Angel of Vengeance.
Cyborg?
Maybe.
Cyborg.
Angel of Vengeance.
Now I got to go back and watch this episode.
I got to go back. I'll just go look at the screen caps probably because that. Let's do a power switch episode between Lois and Clark right before the series finale. Come on. Smallville. Come on.
Season come on. 10, I enjoyed parts of that, though.
I think if anything, it was more of an Easter egg to the stuff that was going to start happening after the show was over when Superman actually shows up.
I think that's a great mid-season episode that's like in the spirit of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. Like, that's what that is. Not like one episode to go. Let's have a silly power swap episode. Meanwhile, Oliver and Supergirl team up and she goes to the future.
Out of nowhere. All of a sudden, she hears Jor-El.
Well,
yeah, what? Jor-El hated her in season 7. Continuity.
Anyways,
everybody.
I know we're wrapping up, but now we're opening up all these new.
Smallville is the worst. I think we can all agree. Hey guys, thanks so much everybody for being patrons on level 33.1. Much appreciated. You keep the lights on here at the Kent Farm because we're always in financial problems, as you know. So if we want to go around the round table here, and you guys can sign off, and people can find out where to find you out there online. Let's start with you, Chris.
You can find me on Twitter, CRFuke7.
What about you, Lex?
Just Instagram at lex.ledger. That's it.
And you, Dallas?
Facebook, Dallas Fernandez.
And you, Cavante?
I am on all the major ones, but mostly on Twitter at chillus, CHILL_US.
And finally, you, Casey.
You can find me on Twitter at CaseyCochran53 and occasionally commenting on Always Hold On to Smallville's posts on Facebook as Casey Buckbeard Cochran.
Alrighty, as for me, you can find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach, that's MoreOnZach. Also the host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue. We talk about franchises, movies, sequels, remakes, and when franchises get fatigued. You can find us on Twitter at UFP Earth. And as for the podcast here, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. So there you have it. It's been a fun level 33.1. This is our 6th round table. So fun as always. I didn't expect all the Star Wars talk in the middle there. So that was fun. Lots of good Smallville and superhero talk as usual. So thank you all again for being part of Level 33.1. If you out there were like, this sounds fun, I want to be on this, I want to talk to these guys, you can go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville1s and become a member there. So, until next time, always hold on to Smallville. Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Dallas Hernandez, Cafonte Chillis, Chris Fuchs, Casey Cochran, Lex Ledger, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe McIndoe, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, John Lloyd, Justin Maitner, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Catherine Emmerich, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Adam Solens, James Bandini II, Jonathan England, Joe Michael, Corey Moore, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Kathleen Holland, Will Hunt, Nathan Rochacher, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Darren Kirch, Anthony Anderson, Joey Deinberg, Fress Horshey, and Clunk Kant. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.